Good morning, Gateway family. I hope you're having a lovely morning this morning. Won't you stand with us as we worship this morning, all those who are able, and we sing Friend of God.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing, amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Friend of God, he calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me? When I call, is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing, amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me
Morning, Gateway. Please greet those around and about you before we start. Isn't it an amazing morning? Last week it was pouring with rain, and we thank the Lord. I think it's over 200 mils of rain. But we praise God for today. I had done about 40 kilometers of my race by this time last week. So just to let you know, I did finish, thank the Lord. And thank you for your prayers. I did a 116-kilometer race. And I did it in 4 hours 52. So I'm still with you, and thank you for the prayers. A little birdie told me that someone's got a birthday today. And her name is Sarah Uluwusona. And Sarah, we wish you a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Sarah, may God bless you.
And this morning you might have noticed that we have our youth worship band or team leading us. And I must say one thing, I feel so youthful this morning standing before you. So, But just a reminder before we come and worship God, just to remind you, we have an evening service, and I call it C, Sunday Evening Equipping. You know, each one of us want to serve God. We really, truly want to serve Him, but sometimes we don't know why or how we can do it, or sometimes we may feel that I can't do it because, well, I'm a terrible sinner, or I can't do it because I don't feel like I have the abilities to do it. But you know one thing? There's a guy called John Wimber who said we can all play in the sandpit. And what he meant by that was that God has given all of us spiritual gifts and abilities. He's taken us through experiences so that we can serve Him. And so I would like to invite you to our evening service. Very soon, we're also going to do it via probably WhatsApp or through Teams, but we're going to try and make an idea that everybody can be part of the service, but I'll keep you posted. But join us for the live service here, 6 p.m. on a Sunday evening. Let's come before God. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give you praise, honor, and glory this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I thank you for our talented young people this morning. And I pray, Lord, that as we come to worship you, Lord, that we may come into the Holy of Holies and that we may glorify God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Won't you stand with us as we sing This Is Amazing Grace?
Darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing. All that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice. Shines like the sun in all of His brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace.
life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Yes, Lord Heavenly Father, you're the one who sits above all. You're the one who is in control. Holy, holy is your name, Lord Jesus. We just sit in awe of all that you do. So, Lord, hear our hearts, Lord, as we sing the Revelation song.
Everything, and I will adore you.
thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who gone before us and all who will believe sing the song of ages to the Lamb. It's your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above the your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Sing the song forever and amen, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Holy to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever.
Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. Jesus, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above the call. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted.
Hallelujah, for the Lord God.
I pray that you bless each and every one of us here today. Lord, that your word reveals all that you have planned for us, Lord Jesus, that we may be in so aligned in what you're doing for us, Lord Jesus, that we can't just help but share who you are to everyone, to every community, to every person. So, Lord, I pray that you bless the lips of Pastor Wayne as he delivers your message today. Pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
I'm thankful to our youth. You can get a cup of coffee for 20 rand. And I don't know about you, but last night at 12 o'clock when the power went off with the load shedding, I normally sleep with a fan. So the fan went off and I woke up. So this is keeping me awake. I'm just going to pray now. I just sense in my heart God wants me just to do a pastoral prayer. I want to pray for our nation. I want to pray for our world. And let's come before God in prayer. Mighty God, we praise and thank you for you are God. You are the God who created this universe. You are God the Father. You are God, our creator and sustainer. Lord, you are the God who reconciles us to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, your Son. And you are the God who says, I will not leave you as orphans. And so, Lord, you are present with us through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we come before you and we just pray for the times in which we live. Lord, we pray for Ukraine as they still are going through war against Russia. And Father, may you bring peace. May you bring an honorable peace, Lord, and may you bring bring this conflict to an end. Lord, we think of Israel and Palestine. Oh Lord, we know that there is a temporary peace and that there is a swapping of hostages, but yet, Lord, there is such cruelty that has taken place where two children are killed because of hate. But Lord, we just pray, bring peace upon Israel, bring peace upon Jerusalem. Lord, we pray for Africa, a lovely continent, Lord, a continent with so much wealth and so many traditions and cultures of people, but yet there is such great division. We, Lord, pray for peace in Africa. Lord, we pray for South Africa. Lord, we know that we are here for your purpose and that so many people have brought judgment upon and condemnation upon this nation. But yet, Lord, you have brought it into existence and you have your will for this nation. And Lord, we just pray, guide us in the energy crisis. And Lord, I pray that you will give wisdom to our government to not allow corruption and greed to allow them to destroy another peristatal. But I pray, Lord, that indeed you will guide us through this energy crisis. Lord, I pray too that as we have this government of national unity and we have it is held together by your grace. But Lord, we pray for the land issues. We pray for those issues that have become pressing in our nation. And we just pray, Lord, that your grace will be upon our beautiful South Africa. And we just pray, Lord, that you will guide her, bless her, and save her. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I would like to share from Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 15. If you get a bit stuck, it's the second book of the Old Testament, so you don't have to look too far. And I'm going to share from Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 15. Let us hear the word of God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land and into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. I nearly said Perizzites, but it's Perizzites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. See now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Repeat that after me. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. May God bless to us the reading of his word. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God said to Moses, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now I go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? The only thing that struck me as I was reading this passage was two things, that God sees and that God hears our cries, our prayers to him. And then God says to Moses, I have come down so that I can help my people. But how has he come down? He has come down and called a man called Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. But Moses says to God, who am I? Who am I? Moses was very reluctant to serve God. He was 80 years old. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say he was 80 years old. Now, a lot of 80 years old will say that they are ancient. I promise you, if Moses can do it at 80, you can still do it today. Hey, Franz. Moses had a criminal record. Did you know that? He was a criminal. He was a murderer. He killed a slave driver. And he had a speech impediment. We don't know if it was stuttering or what it was, but his brother Aaron had to be the spokesperson because he said, I have a speech impediment, Lord. But the biggest problem was that fear ruled his heart. As a man who felt that he had all these impediments blocking his way, Moses asked a question which many people in his circumstances would ask. Who am I that I should go? Nonetheless, God the Father looked beyond all of Moses' excuses because he was determined that Moses would serve him. God's call upon his life. God's call was upon his life. And he was empowered by God to be his transformation agent. Moses was a square peg in a round hole. When Moses experienced God at the burning bush, he was a shepherd of his father-in-law Jethro in Midian. But on this occasion, it says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, he had led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. You see, God had not called Moses to be a shepherd, but he had called Moses to be a prophet of the nation of Israel. He was called to lead the nation out of Egypt to the promised land that God had destined for his nation. Everything that had happened in Moses' life to that point had prepared him to be God's prophet. Just think about it. He was saved from an Egyptian execution when his mother put him in a basket that floated down the Nile River. Pharaoh had given the command that any male Jewish boy that was born under the age of 2 had to be killed. He was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh and was brought up as a prince of Egyptian royalty. Can you imagine that? There is a child that Pharaoh wants to kill. Per chance, he floats down the river. And by chance, an Egyptian princess finds him in the river, adopts him, and he is brought up as Egyptian royalty. He learned how to read and write. He learned to make papyrus. He understood leadership because he was being trained up to be a leader because he was royalty. Was that just perchance? Was that just one of those things, an accident? No. It was all part of God incidences. It was all part of God's preparation in his life. However, as a young man in his 20s, he had murdered an Egyptian slave overseer and ran away from Egyptian justice. Yet it reads in Romans 8, verse 28, as we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You see, even if Moses murdered an overseer, even that had a purpose in God's plan for his life. Now, I'm not saying you must go and murder somebody. Sometimes we feel like it, but don't follow your impulse. But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes God can use the bad things we have done. And if we allow Him, through His forgiveness and love, He can use it in our lives. Moses' purpose was not to be a shepherd of sheep, but a shepherd of people. He was destined to lead the Israelite nation to the promised land. Did you notice earlier, what did he do? He led the sheep to the Mount of God. And what God wanted him to do was not to lead sheep to that mountain again. But what did he want him to do? He wanted to lead people to Mount Horeb. He was destined to be a prophet and not a lowly shepherd in the Midian landscape. What about you? One thing I love about God, you can't make excuses to God. When God has a call upon your life, no matter how many excuses you make, you will end up serving Him where He wants you. I was 16 years old when I believe God called me into ministry. 16 years old, and a lot of people said, no, you're too young. You need to experience life. But in my heart, I wanted to serve God. And yes, I went through many trials and temptations, and I went through many valleys, and I went through many experiences. But at the age of 29, I began in the ministry. Today is the 22nd of February. On the 25th of February this month, I will be 26 years in ordained ministry. It wasn't by Wayne's will. It was by God's will. See, no matter what excuses Moses made, he went in the name of God. We need to remember that no matter what excuses we make, if we go in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. It is written in Genesis 3, verse 13. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. I love that answer. This is what you ought to say to Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Have you picked up here? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, I'm not a very good Hebrew scholar, but Hebrew scholars will tell you that when he says here, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, that it is written in the present tense. And what is that saying? They may be dead, but where are they? They are with God. Has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. David Platt, Pastor David Platt in the United States states, in John chapter 15, verse 5, apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. That's the point. Moses says, who am I? God responds basically by saying, it's not about who you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not about who you are. Okay? It's about who I am, and I will be with you. Okay, so what is God saying there? Moses, this isn't about you, son. This is all about me. We live in a world today where it's all about the trinity of I, me, and I. I mean, I, me, and my. Is it not? We live in a world today which is selfish. But yet God says here to Moses, Moses, it's not about you. It's about me. When you get a couple of verses later, God says to Moses, I am who I am. The self-existent God of the universe, I will be with you. That's how you're going to do this. Not based on your innate ability, Moses. Not based on whatever faith even you can muster up like. I'm going to be there with you. You just trust me and I will work in you, through you, and show myself strong on your behalf. Be encouraged by that reality today. One thing I've come to realize is that God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. Does that make sense? Because I really had to say it carefully. Let me try that again. Right. God doesn't call the equipped, but God equips the called. What that means is God throws you in the deep end, and you pray for His grace, you trust in the name of Jesus, and you go forth. Amen? Today, God the Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, has a call upon your life to be His transformation agent. But please don't tell me I'm too old. Moses was 80. Please don't tell me you are too young. God called Samuel, a young boy in the temple, to serve Him. He calls each one of us to go in His name. The beauty here in Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 to 12, is that when we get to the New Testament, Jesus says these same words, I will be with you. Christopher, I will be with you. He says, I'm going to send my spirit in you. My presence is going to live in you. So for us, this side of the cross of Jesus Christ, we know this truth, this promise in even greater ways. God is with us right now. He lives in us as followers of Christ. So be encouraged today. Your life and all that God has called you to do, it's not based on who you are. It's based on who He is. And He is in you to give you everything you need to be the man, the woman, the youth, the child that God has called you to be. So look to Him. All right, so this morning I want to get you into shape. I forgot to tell you to bring your gym clothing with you this morning. This morning, I would like you to find your shape and to get into your shape. Are you meant to be a round peg in a round hole? Or are you meant to be a square peg in a square hole? Hey, Alan. This morning, I'd like to share the following with you that challenged my thoughts on finding your ministry fit. A Saddleback Church in California, where Pastor Rick Warren is pastor. You know Rick Warren? He wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. Has a wonderful way to get people motivated and committed Christians into shape. How do you spell shape? S-H-A-P-E. Correct? Okay. So this is what they write. For us at Saddleback, shape has become a critical part of how we help mobilize people for ministry. Architecture teaches that function follows form. We believe the opposite is true for ministry. Form follows function. Okay, look at your neighbor. Form follows function. What that means, I have no idea. No, form follows function. Your ministry is determined by your makeup. When you don't understand your shape, you sometimes end up doing things God never intended or designed you to be. Did God design Moses to be a shepherd? No. God designed him to be a prophet. And when your gifts don't match the role you play in life, it can be frustrating to you and the people you're leading. Not only does it produce limited results, but it is also an enormous waste of your talents, time, and energy. So there are five important factors that make up how God shapes us for ministry. Remember the word? S-H-A-P-E. Firstly, it's spiritual gifts. S. Spiritual gifts. The moment you become a believer, God gives you certain gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 8, Ephesians 4, you will discover it talks about these gifts. Every believer has a spiritual gift. Most churches say, discover your spiritual gift and then you'll know what ministry you're supposed to have. But they have it backwards. The exact opposite is true. Start experimenting with different ministries. And then you'll discover your gifts. Until you actually get involved in serving, you're not going to know what you're good at doing. You can read every book out there about spiritual gifts and still be confused about what you're gifted in. You see, what did I say earlier? God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So we've had S, now we have H, heart. The Bible uses the heart to represent the center of emotions, desires, interests, and inclinations. God has given every individual a unique physical heartbeat. This unique heartbeat is like a thumbprint. It's different from everyone else's. God also gifts us with a certain emotional heartbeat. Certain things get you excited, while others do not. These passions help us better understand how God wants to use us in ministry. God has gifted certain people to teach, but if he also gives them a heart for children, it will change how they use that gift. So someone might teach adults, someone might teach children, someone might teach teenagers. Your God-given motivational bent provides an internal guidance system for your life and will determine what will bring you the most satisfaction in life. What's your passion? What gets you up in the morning? Coffee? What gives you passion? Tsapang, what gives you passion to see the unsaved come to Jesus Christ in Africa? That's what gets you up in the morning. That's what takes you to Kenya. Next time you go to Madagascar, Mauritius, I'm going with, eh? S-H-A, abilities. These are the natural abilities God gives you from the moment you were born. Some people are natural athletes. Others were born with innate mathematical abilities, not me. Others are great at working with people. Just like spiritual gifts and heart, God gives us natural abilities so that we can use them to do His work in the world. There are people in our church who are gifted with all kinds of abilities. Gateway, as a church, we mustn't waste them. So we've had S, we've had H, we've had A, we now have P, personality. Your personality influences how you'll use your gifts and abilities. Those who are extroverted will serve in ways that are different from those who are introverted. The same is true for people who like routines and people who like variety. I'm a routine person. Things have to work according to how I've done them for the last couple of years. But Francis, Francis is spontaneous. And when things don't go according to routine, my life is messed up. But you know what's so great about God? Is that variety adds spice to life. Your personality will affect how and where you use your spiritual gifts and abilities. There is no right or wrong temperament for ministry. We need all kinds of personalities to balance the church and give it flavor. The world would be a very boring place if we were all the same. So we've had S-H-A-P, now we've got E, experiences. God never wastes an experience. Specifically, he gives us four kinds of experiences that shape the ministry he wants for us. Educational, vocational, spiritual, and painful. The last one may surprise you, but it's the most important. God never wastes a hurt. God takes us through painful experiences and comforts us so we can minister to others who are in pain. This morning, you'll see that I've got my collar on. But I've got it on for a reason this morning. Because when I'm finished here, I have to be in Katlehong at 11:30 to go and preach a message of reconciliation to a broken church. And God has taken me through experiences where my heart has been broken, where there's been unforgiveness in my heart. But this morning, he wants me to go into a place to encourage others to forgive one another and to live in reconciliation with each other. One of the best ways to help people discover their ministries is to encourage them to reflect on their past and ask, how can God use that? How can God use that? Because our shape was sovereignly determined by God for his purpose. We shouldn't resent it or reject it. Romans 9:20 to 21 says, what right have you, a human being, to cross-examine God? The pot has no right to say to the potter, why did you make me this shape? Surely a potter can do what he likes with his clay. You and I are clay in the potter's hand. We are most effective and fulfilled in ministry when we use our spiritual gifts and abilities in the area of our heart's desire, as I like to call it, our passion, in a way that best expresses our personalities and experiences. Fruitfulness is the result of a good ministry fit. Turn to your neighbor and say, fruitfulness is the result of a good ministry fit. And finally, let me just have a drink here. I mean, a slicky of my coffee. Finally, are you currently happy in your Christian comfort zone? Are you currently happy by just being a pew warmer? If your answer to the question is no, maybe we can assist you here at Gateway to get into shape. Let us discover your spiritual gifts. Let us find your unique heartbeat, passion for a ministry. Let us find your natural abilities to transform the world. Let us discover how personality affects your spiritual gifts and abilities. And remember, God never wastes an experience in your life. Consequently, how can God use that experience from your life? You aren't here by mistake. You aren't here because of load shedding. You are here by God's destiny. You are here because God has called you to be here today. Therefore, in conclusion, do you want to remain a shepherd, or do you want to reach your full potential in Christ and become a prophet? Amen. Let's pray. Mighty God, we just praise and thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that each one of us are not here by accident, and that each one of us are here by your purpose and your will. And I pray, Lord, that as we journey along together as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that you will enable us to find our shape. Lord, may we follow that passion that you've given in our hearts. And Lord, may we always understand that it is not about me, but that it's all about you. For Lord, we go not in our name, but we go in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, we pray, be with us now. Guide and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bring before God our offering.
Let's close our eyes in prayer. Father God, we give you all praise and glory and honor for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you came to speak to each one of us. I pray, O Holy Spirit, that you would write it on our heart tables that we won't forget, that you are who you am. You am God Almighty. Father God, you have a shape for each one of us. And we are humbled that you have formed us the way we need to be, so that you can use us in your kingdom. Use each one of us. Our Holy Spirit, work in each one of our hearts that we can know what you want us to do, who you want us to be. We pray today for so many people who are going through mourning. We pray that you would be with those families, that you would you would comfort them, O Holy Spirit, that you would pull them close to your Father heart, and that you would be there for them. We pray for those who are going in this week for operations. We lift up especially Alan and Keith to you, and we pray that your hand would be on them, that you would go before them, that you would give the surgeons the wisdom that they so desperately need, and that you would give them peace. Peace above all understanding. We pray for those who are busy healing after operations, that you would heal them completely. In Jesus' name we pray that. We thank you for this offering. We pray that you would keep your hand on it and that you would bless it, that we would use it to further your kingdom. Be glorified in each one of our lives. And Father God, we pray lastly for Pastor Wayne as he go out this morning, that you would go before him, that you would anoint him with a word straight from your Father heart for the Cutleong family. Lord God, that you would bless them, that you would pull them together, that you would bring reconciliation and forgiveness, and that you would restore them to stand strong in you again. Go with us, Lord God, and bless yourself in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us sing together our last song, and then we will have the blessing.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. His ransom me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child. Yes, I am.
Mighty God, indeed, we thank you that we are chosen and not forsaken. We thank you, Lord, that we are a child of God. And we thank you, Lord, that we are called to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I pray, Lord, that as we go into this new week, Lord, may we go with the comfort of knowing that you are with us, that you will guide and lead us, and that you will show us your will. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you so much for worshiping us, with us. Please join us for some tea and coffee at the back. And if you do need prayer, the pastor and the elders will be here in front for you.
Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.